Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. This podcast covers the biggest Saturday stakes run around the country. This is show number 45, December 27th, 2019. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how is the holiday season treating you?
It's going great. I want to wish everybody a happy holiday and a happy new year coming up here in a few days. The weather has been not frightful at all out here in the Northwest, and it's been a great Christmas weekend so far for me.
Fantastic. I am recording from DeLand, Florida, where I'm spending the holidays. And I'm in the quietest room of the house, and it is unfortunately right on a road, so you may hear a car driving by occasionally, but the internet connection is solid. And I'd also like to wish everybody happy holidays. Since we have a lot of stakes to cover from Santa Anita today, let's get started. The second race at Santa Anita is the Lady of Shamrock Stakes. This is for Saturday, December 28th. It's a mile race on the turf for three-year-old fillies with a purse of $75,000. Chris, what did you think?
Well, this race is very wide open race. The favorite, the one horse, I think is pretty solid. She tried older horses going much longer, and that didn't work out too well, but she cuts back in distance, and she's back against three-year-olds. And I think she's strong, but she doesn't lay over the field. And after that, it's really hard to separate the rest of the field. I'm not going to try to make a case for all of them because time is short and that doesn't really help people much. So I will tell you the horse I think I landed on is probably the horse to play in here. And that's the 8 horse Laker Ball, who really improved when they moved her to the turf as a two-year-old. She's run some good races as a two-year-old and a three-year-old, and then had a long layoff, pretty much missed the entire summer and fall. And then they brought her back against an impossibly tough field. I mean, it was the best turf mares in the country. Older horses got Stormy. Daddy is a Legend, etc. And it was right off the bench. She was 150-1 or something like that. Had no chance at all. But
159.7-1.
Yeah. Which Doug O'Neill has a tendency to stick horses in spots where you think they have no chance. And often, you know, they don't. But every once in a while, they pop a race. So you can't completely fault him for the way he spots them, especially the Redham horses that he trains. But that horse, you know, that was a prep and second off a layoff. And it looks like there's plenty of early pace in this race, especially with Brill, the dirt horse. I'm trying the turf and the other O'Neill horse, 7 horse sold it. They're both speed horses and several others have front running styles. So I think Laker Ball will get a good setup from coming off the pace. I don't really like Joe Talamo on the turf. I don't really like the 8 post, but I think this horse will drop back anyway and probably make a wide run late. And if they're tiring up front, the horse won't be 159-1 this time, but I think it'll be a good price and probably worth a play in here in a pretty wide open race.
I knew you were going to pick Laker Ball, and I tried to make a case for her. She did run a big race at the age of 2. She's second off a layoff. She is a price, so that's really key. The only issue I have with her is that except for that one race that she ran at Golden Gate, where she ran really well. She's done absolutely nothing since that race, and I don't see any sign of her waking up. So my question to you is, do you always play these horses, or only when you see a sign of a wake up? And if there is a sign of a wake up, what is it?
Well, to me, her other races earlier this year were pretty good. I mean, she ran third in a stakes race, and then she ran fourth, only beating 3/4 of a length in a stakes race. That was in February and April. So to me, those were good races. She didn't win, but they were real solid. And that was way back in February and April as a two-year-old. So she should have developed quite a bit since then. And I don't think they would have spotted her in a grade one race if, you know, she wasn't in pretty good form. She had trained pretty well coming up the race, and her last workout was actually her fastest workout she's ever had since that race. So, you know, I just see second off a layoff, training well, spotted aggressively off the bench. Her past, you know, she's placed in a graded stakes before, and she's probably just developed quite a bit since then. And the race could set up for her. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positives. She may need another race, and she may not be good enough, but I don't see anybody that really scares me off in here.
All right. Well, I will agree with you that Laker Ball is the price play for sure. I can't quite get myself to pick her on top as far as a pod pick. I landed on Mischiefy, who is just as fast as Keeper of the Stars, the most likely winner of the race. She is just as fast, but only has shown that those speed figures sprinting. She has won 2-turn race that was bad, but it was her first race in the U.S. off a layoff. She's improved every race that she's run except for the one where she broke through the gate. And, you know, given that her speed figure in her last race was as good as Keeper of the Stars' best, she would be my play in this race, but I'm not going to bet it. And I do have concerns about her getting the distance, but that would, I'd lean a little bit more towards her. She's 6-1 morning line, but she may go higher. And I think Keeper of the Stars could get really pounded.
Yeah. I mean, with her, the big question is, you know, she only had that one race in a mile. Like you said, you can give her excuses for that, but you know, she's going from 5 furlongs to a mile. That's quite a bit of a stretch. So the distance is the big question on her, but you probably will get a pretty good price on her. And she's got a good trainer and a good rider, but it's all about the distance with that horse.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not going to be betting this race. I'm not going to be in any contest. So if you are in a contest, Laker Ball sort of makes sense at 10-1 or higher if you're in a mythical win place contest. So we'll leave it at that because we have, what, 6 more races to go. The next race is the San Antonio, which is the fifth race on the card. It's a mile and a 1/16 on dirt, the purse of $200,000 for three-year-olds and up. I guess I'll start this one since you started the last. The horse I landed on is a price horse. I think there's question marks with all the horses here, including Gift Box, who looks fine and is fastest, but is another year older, and I just don't know if he's going to come back with another strong race. So my play is King Abner, who is third off a layoff. He gets good at this time of year. He got good at this time of year last year. He has enough speed to wire if he needs to. Otherwise, he will be close. He won his last with a hand ride and had a big gallop out. It wasn't his best race. His best races came earlier in the year. I think the third off the layoff, he's kind of poised to run the race of his life. It won't be good enough if Gift Box runs as good as he can run, but coming off that layoff, I think he might be vulnerable, even though he won this race last year off a layoff. He won this race last year off a layoff at a price, and this time he'll be the favorite. So King Abner's also working out great, And if you don't have the courage to bet him to win, he's a really good under horse, under whatever horse you think might win this race.
I can't argue with King Abner. He's one of the two I like in here. I think there's a real good chance he'll get a, you know, the lead in here. The five horse Muggeritz might be the other horse to go after him, but that horse won last time, taking back a little bit. So I think the other horses in here are going to let him go and stalk him, and he'll be very tough to overhaul. I do think he's capable of winning at a price, so I would not disagree with you on that one. I think the horse I might like a little better is the three-year-old Gray Magician. This is exactly the kind of horse I think you want to be playing this time of the year, these three-year-olds. They're now maturing quite a bit and able to take on and beat the older horses. And he's got a real nice, solid line. He never runs a bad race. They spotted him really smart. I think, you know, they took him, and they've been kind of going against the second tier three-year-olds like Spun to Run and Mr. Money. They did take, you know, run in the Derby. They went to the UAE Derby and ran second and won a lot of money there. Just have spotted this horse really, really intelligently. The horse always runs, it draws the rail. Javier Castellanos riding, has tactical speed. I think it gets a really good trip. It could certainly improve. It's definitely going to run its race. So to me, if you can get 4 or 5 to 1 and maybe, play him exact as with King Abner, you might make some money on this race. I agree with you. Gift Box is a year older. He is trying to repeat what he did successfully last year. So it wouldn't shock me if he won this race, but, you know, he may need a race as a six-year-old off the long layoff, so I wouldn't be afraid to take a shot against him. So to me, it's a Gray Magician and King Abner as the possible upsetters over Gift Box.
Another thing to add on Gray Magician is that he's carrying lowest weight of the field at 119, so he's getting 4 pounds from Gift Box and a couple of the others. Could be a nice exacta, nice pricey exacta. I think Gift Box you might want to include somewhere in there because he does seem to be working out great. I just think he's a little bit vulnerable on the win end. The next race is the sixth race at Santa Anita. It's the American Oaks, 1.25 miles on the downhill turf, starting on the downhill turf. It's a purse of $300,000. It's a grade one race for three-year-old fillies. What were you thinking here, Chris?
Well, this horse, this is the race where I really like a horse in here, but the morning line was a little disappointing. The horse I liked is the 3 Mucho Unusual. His last 3 races haven't been great. And so I thought there'd be a chance that he would be more of a price in here, especially going 1.25 miles, a distance he hasn't ever tried before. But he's 4 to 1, or she, I should say she, I'm calling the poor filly, she is 3-year-old filly, is 4 to 1 on the morning line. At that price, I'm not as interested, but I do think there's a chance the horse could float up above that. The reason I like this horse is that, it has some excuses for some of its recent races. And what I like is the switch to Joel Rosario in this last time. This horse has been, for some reason, been up close to some hot paces and tiring in its last few races with different riders. But if you go back to the last time it won, that was under Joel Rosario. And in that race, he took the horse back to last. And it made a big run and finished strong to win. And I think that will be the strategy in here, trying to go a mile and a quarter. They switch back to Rosario, and he kind of has two ways of running, riding horses. He either takes them all the way to back, like he did the last time he rode this horse and won, or he goes right to the lead. And he actually has ridden this horse in its first turf try, and he went right to the lead and went wire to wire on the horse in that race. So he kind of does one or the other. And I think in this case, they'll take him back, and because he hasn't been doing as well up close to the lead since then. And he won on the horse last time when he dropped way back. So I think that will be the strategy, is to drop back with this horse and hopefully get the mile and a quarter. There's several speed horses in here, so it should be an honest pace. I don't love the horse at 4-1, but if I got a little better price, I might be interested in that one. And there is kind of a real long shot I like as well, but I'll wait and to mention that and give you a chance to jump in with whoever you like in the race.
Well, we are double barreling on Mucho Unusual. She's slightly slower than Lady Prancelot, but I think she could be a big price here. I get why they put 4-1 morning line, but I think she goes off higher than that. I just don't see anybody really loving this horse. She did run her best race two races ago, and then in her last, she was close to a hot pace against top horses, and simply reacted to her last race. She's a little bit slower than Lady Prancelot, and distance is a big question, but it is also a question for all of these. So that is definitely my play in this race. And I don't really have anything else that's interesting. I think the four logical horses that are the lowest morning line horses and are all carrying 124, they are the most logical. So I'll send it back to you and see who's the long shot that you think we should consider.
Well, the long shot I kind of like maybe more underneath than to win is the 6-horse Pretty Point, who I think will take back, you know, she will take back. She doesn't have a lot of speed, but she really didn't have much of a chance the way she was ridden in her last race. It was behind she just got so far behind, she really had no chance. She did close well, but there's no way she was going to get there. In a race before that, she, again, looked like she was way too far behind, but she was facing a weaker field, a much weaker field there, and she just blew by them. But she certainly looks like a horse that can finish up going a mile and a quarter. And some of these other horses may not be able to do that. I mean, the distance is a question. And with her, I think, you know, she will be finishing. And she's 30-1 on the morning line, because her only win is in a maiden race, and she finished off the board last time out in an allowance race. But like I said, she didn't have much of a chance in that race. So to me, she's the kind that definitely could get a piece of it at a big price. So that's the other horse I kind of like in here.
Definitely has a pattern that suggests she could improve. This is a horse that I'd be interested in if she was getting some weight, which they're all carrying 124 here. But definitely, with all the question marks in this race, worth considering as a use underneath. So let's go to our next race, which is the 7th at Santa Anita. It's the La Brea at 7 furlongs, another grade one, purse of 300,000 for 3-year-old fillies. I guess I'll start this one. I'm going to go with the exacta that came in last time these two met, and that is Bell's the One over First Star. Bell's the One has always been fast. She's always also been ignored, and you know, correctly nailed her at 13-1 in her last race. I think she could float above her morning line, and one of the reasons is because the California race horses tend to get bet in races like this, and you know, she's trained by Neil Pessin, who's really not done that much, and she's never run in California. So I think she could go off at a nice price. She is working gangbusters into this race. I did see the DRF workout reports, and they weren't that thrilled with her most recent workout at Santa Anita. But she had bullets coming into that, and she doesn't really need to have a sizzling workout in her workout previous to this race. She's always been fast, and I think she's a good angle play here. Just because she's always been fast, and I think Bellafina is going to get absolutely crushed, even though she looked really great in her last race, but it was her biggest race ever, and there's a chance, even though she's working well since that race, there's a chance that she reacts to that race as an overbet favorite. First star, only lost to Bell's the One, has some upside. Could sit a cozy trip from the rail and launch a strong run. I think those two could make a really nice exacta in this race. And I would do it both ways, but with a little preference for Bell's the One on top. What did you think in this race?
Well, I think that exacta you mentioned, that was an exacta we picked on the pod. I think you were on First Star and I was on Bell's the One, and they ran 1-2 that day. So I wouldn't be shocked if they ran 1-2 in here as well. They definitely both figure. Like you said, Bellafina's the one to beat. She loves Santa Anita. I think this is a good distance for her. She's the best horse in the race, but also, as you said, she probably will regress off of that last race because it was the one they had pointed towards. She ran big. There's a good reason to think that she's going to regress. Now, will she regress enough to lose the race? That's the question. But as you also stated, she gets bet even against better horses than these. So who knows what her price will be? She's 9-5 in the morning line, but I think she'll get bet down below that. Although I do think First Star and Bell's the One are probably the next two choices in the betting. So I wanted to go a little deeper in here, although, you know, those three could end up being the trifecta. The thing I thought was interesting about this race is the California Sprint, and there's really not any horse that needs to be on the lead. I think it could be a slow pace. I think it could set up for a horse to steal the race. And the horse I kind of like to possibly do that is the 7 horse Hard Not to Love. John Shirefs is just all of a sudden red hot. I don't know why. You know, he's kind of toiled in the shadows since Zenyatta was retired, but all of a sudden his horses are all running really well. They need to be respected. This horse looks like another one that fits that mold. It ran really well after a long layoff. It's a horse that likes to be on or near the lead. It's one on the lead. It's one from off the pace. It's really as fast as all but Bellafina coming into the race. Should be ready to run well, second off a layoff. Just a lot to like in here. It's a well-bred horse. It's half to Wonder Godot, who was a very good mare, by Hard Spun. Also had another stakes winner as a sibling. Its mother was a really good horse. So this horse, I think, is going to run well. It should get a good trip. Mike Smith knows how to win big races. This is the kind of horse he really excels on, a horse that can get the lead in a race with a moderate pace going 7 furlongs, just a perfect kind of a race for him. And so 6-1 isn't great, but with those horses we just mentioned likely taking most of money, I think that horse could float up. So that's kind of where I am on this one, Hard Not to Love.
Hard Not to Love definitely intrigued me. Is 3-4 lifetime. only has one loss, and in that loss, she broke slowly. She was running on short rest after a strong improvement from her first to her second race. So it can be completely excused, and then she took time off. You're right about the trainer. I didn't notice that until you mentioned it, and I looked it up, and he's hitting at 32% in the last 90 days with a 301 ROI. So this horse at 6-1, I like it. The DRF workout report they only mentioned the December 11th workout and it says she seems to be holding fine form, working under a tight rein. I like that. I did notice that the mother, Loving Vindication, the dam, even though she didn't win a stakes race, she was very fast. And she was fast as a 2-year-old. She was super fast as a 3-year-old. And also related to Wonder Gadot. So I would absolutely consider, let's put it this way. If I put in an exacta with Bells of One and First Star, then I've got to do something also with Hard Not to Love, because all the things you mentioned, plus the fact that she's, at least on the speed figures that I'm looking at, she's just as fast as those horses. And then you also have that pace edge. So I endorse, even though I already picked my first two horses, but I'll endorse that horse as well. And maybe, just maybe, you get those three in the trifecta with Bellafina out of the money and cash big.
All right. I like the way you're thinking there.
Okay, so we'll go to the next race. If I can find it on my computer. The next race is the 8th race at Santa Anita. It's the Robert J. Frankel Stakes, 1 1/8 miles on the turf. Purse of $100,000 for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up. Where'd you land here, Chris?
Well, this is another pretty tough race, but I did land on a horse that I like quite a bit. That's the one horse Tiny Tina. I always like horses that draw the rail. I really liked this horse when I saw that Flavian Pratt gets back aboard. He's probably the best turf rider out there in California, certainly knows how to win. And the last time he was on this horse, he won. That was the last time she won. In fact, the last two times he was on this horse, she won. So they get reunited here. And her last race wasn't great, but it was going 11 furlongs, which I think is just too long for her. So now they cut back to 1 1/8 miles, which I think is better than much better distance for her. And her last time she went 1 1/8 miles, that was two races back. It wasn't great, but it, you know, wasn't a terrible effort. It was against some better horses than she's facing here. And the race before that was off a layoff sprinting, which was just a prep. So I think she's really pointed to a good race here, and she's run fast enough to win. I just really like the fact that Pratt's back on her. I think she'll get a good trip. She may get overlooked with some of the other horses in here. And you know, it's 6 or 8 to 1. I think she's a good play.
Very interesting pick. And I'm not going to pile on in this case because there's another bomber that I'm interested in. And that horse is the 8 Miss Painteur. I think anything could happen in this race. And she ran a really big race in her debut race as a 2-year-old for Lily Cortinez at Gulfstream at 7.5 furlongs. Whoever owned her then sold her, and they moved the horse to Brian Corner. And believe it or not, the horse still, at least on sheet figures, has not run as fast as that 2-year-old race. So apparently she was cranked up and she ran a huge race and she hasn't done anything since. She has won a race. She's 2 for 11 on the turf. I didn't look up to see what the circumstances of the other win was, but it was a race at Santa Anita. I'm looking at it right now. Why do I think she might actually pop this race? Because as a four-year-old, in her four-year-old debut, she ran a pretty big race at Santa Anita at 10-1. She finished second. And then she had trouble in her next race, and she's been circling back to that race ever since. If she follows the pattern where she can actually blow through her two-year-old top, she could blow through her two-year-old best, which came up an 80 buyer on buyer figures. She might just run an 85. She might just run a 90, but she could also run something really big. And she's had time to develop. It's been 2 years since that first race. Two other angles that I have on this horse, she's working out really well. She just ran a 5 furlong 58.3 bullet at Los Alamitos. And in another angle that many people don't have because they aren't looking at these racing flow numbers, but she was chasing a speed flow with a closer favorability rating of 3 on a scale of 100, 3 being 1 being the closer favorability is almost impossible, and she ran against a 3. So she was against the flow in her last race. She was working well, and she's working even better since then. And she's 20-1 morning line. I think we could easily get that. I'm not sure why anybody would bet this horse unless they're looking at these angles. So that's my play in this race.
I think the horse will be 40-1. I think you could make a monster score on this if she runs, because she was 20-1 last time. Or 30-1 last time, and there's no reason to think they're gonna bet her down below that in this race. That was an allowance race. That horse will be a monster price. So you could really make a big score. That's the kind of horse I like too. I just don't like her so much in this race. But I think next time she runs, if she gets a better setup, I really do like her. I do think she's got a big race in her somewhere. I just think she's a front runner in a race that looks like I don't think she's going to be on the lead, but I think she likes, in her three of her last four, she's been, right up first or second. And with the 6, 7, and 8 all speedy, I think there'll be a pretty quick pace, which probably won't work in her favor. But I really like the horse at some point. Price you're going to get, certainly worth using in here, but I'd really keep an eye on her next time. If she does get forwardly placed and tires in here, she's definitely one to look for next time out if she gets a better setup. I really like a lot of the things you point out about her, and she has been working really well. So, she's definitely an interesting horse in here. And I did want to mention that I do think the pace will be really solid, which I think will help with the closers like Tiny Tina. That was another reason why I liked her in here.
Yeah, I do have to admit that I had not looked at the pace because we're looking at so many races this week and I'm in a holiday situation with a lot of social activities. I didn't get to look at the pace for this race. It doesn't look very good at this juncture, just looking at the time form pace projector. But I will reevaluate, take a second look, see if there's any way she can hang off that pace and reevaluate how much I'm willing to bet on this. But at that price, this is a race that I will be putting some money on for sure.
Yeah, and who knows? They might even try to take her back. She has rated some before. And at the price, she's definitely worth tossing in there. And like I said, if she does run up close to the pace and tire in here, she's the kind of horse that is going to score at a price at some point, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, just another couple of minor things. She is a half to a horse that ran best routing on the turf, and her mother was a two-time stakes winner, also routing on the turf. She's her dam sire is Dynaformer, so she should love the mile and an eighth. And Brice Blanc is a jockey who I know one guy who absolutely hates him, but he's scored for me with long shots before, and he adds to the price, and I have no problem with him whatsoever. So hopefully he'll be able to work out some kind of a trip. Our next race is the ninth race at Santa Anita. It's the Malibu, 7 furlongs on the dirt, 300,000, another grade one, last grade one of the year, probably, for three-year-olds. Where did you land here, Chris?
Well, to me, this race is a lot like, you know, the Bellafina race, in that you have a big favorite, Omaha Beach, who I think I did not like. I expected him to run really well in his last race, and he kind of broke sluggishly, and he just didn't run that well. I in a race where I really expect him to run well. So that, to me, is never a good sign. Also, just the way they've been spotting this horse, I mean, they didn't know if they were going to run him in the sprint or the mile or the classic, and they split the difference, and now they cut him back to 7 furlongs. I don't know. At the price, I'm willing to take a shot against him. I think he's a really good horse, but I just don't know what they're doing with this horse. I think this is his second to last race. They're going to run him in the Pegasus, and then he'll be retired. So I'm not afraid to take a shot against him. The next obvious horse, the second choice in the wagering complexity, he's another horse, very good horse. But, you know, he has been kind of a off and on type horse that sort of is a little bit, I call them fragile horses. They run big and they run bad, and he's coming off a really big race off a layoff. You know, maybe that's a springboard to better races, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see him, you know, regress off of that race. So the two favorites to me could be, they're the best horses in the race, but I don't necessarily see them sitting on big races coming in here. So I'm always interested in that case to take a shot against them. And the horse I kind of like in here in a race again, where I don't think there's a lot of pace, for a 7 furlong grade one sprint in Southern California, is the one horse Much Better, who has, you know, always had some talent. They, for some reason, tried him on the turf for a while after he broke his maiden. I have still not figured out why Bob Baffert horse was going, they're trying to route him on the turf. But then they put him back on the dirt, and he ran really well in the Sham Stakes. He got tired, but, you know, he ran well there. And then I thought his best race ever was when they shipped him to Aqueduct in the Gotham, and he just sent an incredibly ridiculous hot pace, but held on pretty well and dug in. I think that race kind of knocked him out a little bit. He ran another decent race, but then he kind of tailed off, and they gave him some time off, and he came back with a nice prep for this, I thought. And, you know, now second off a layoff, they put the blinkers on him for this. So I know this is one of three horses that Baffert has in the race, and the other two are horses that come from off the pace. So from the rail, blinkers on, Flavian Pratt gets aboard. You know, they're going to gun him out of the gate in here, I'm almost sure. And he had the blinkers on before. In fact, you know, some of his best races were with blinkers on. He just tends to take off. In this case, I think that'll be a good thing. He had a nice workout also since his last race. You know, Baffert horses work fast, but that was actually the fastest by far he had ever worked. He went 46-1 for 4 furlongs. So to me, I just see him jetting out, clearing the field, and going wire to wire at a price. I think he can do it. I think complexity will be the one that might put pressure on him, but I think they'll be happy to let much better go early. They're not going to try to go with him, I don't think. And if they don't, I think he could be gone. So I'm all about number one, much better in here.
Okay. Noted that he has a big shot. He's second off a layoff, working extraordinarily. The DRF workout report, borderline manic, they wrote for this December 11th race, which may or may not be a good thing. I'm actually, I don't know if I will bet this race at all. If I do bet multi-race exotic bets, such as the pick five, I will absolutely include my official pick for this race, who I've been keeping an eye on. I've been betting against him over and over again. But now I think is the time to bet him, and that is the 4, Roadster. He has also always been fast. He was fast as a 2-year-old. In the Santa Anita Derby, he got down to a top figure, but he was conked out after that race. It was too much for him, and that's why I didn't like him in the Derby. His gallop out was really bad, and then he ended up not running that well. He hasn't won since. When he came back, he was working well. When he came back in the 7-furlong race on November 2nd, he was working well, but it was against some other fast horses. He was second by a nose. It was a small top on the sheets. It was his slightly best race ever. And then shortly after that, he ran a 2-turn race where I bet with both fists against him, and he ran terrible. Because it was off a top, off short rest, stretching from 7 furlongs to 9 furlongs. So now he's had nearly 2 months rest since that small top, and he's always been fast. And this is the race that Roadster runs, the race of his life. And this is sort of, he already had a lot of steam a while ago, but this could be his coming out party where everybody says, there's the real Roadster. And I think that could happen. And I think he could be even higher than his 3-1, because I think now people are going to give up on him after 4 straight losses. So Roadster is my play in this race. I'm not sure how much I will bet it, but if he goes higher than that 3-1, then I may just have to place some money on him.
What price do you think he'll be? Because he gets bet every time he runs. You think they're going to give up on him in here, huh?
Well, I keep seeing things on Twitter about how how much people are going to be betting on Omaha Beach. So I think he's going to Omaha Beach. Everything says that he is going to get completely overbet in this race. And complexity for Chad Brown. I mean, that horse also always gets bets as well. So between those two, and I don't think much better is 12-1. I mean, 7-2, maybe 4-1. I don't know. If crazier things have happened. We'll see. If he does get off, bet at 5-2, then, he's probably not worth a bet. But 3-1 or higher, yeah. 7-2 or higher, yeah. And if he goes higher from there, then he gets more and more interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he could run pretty well in here. He seems like he's been 3-5, 4-5, 3-5, 7-5. I mean, except for the Derby, he's gotten pounded every time he's run. But you're right. Maybe they do get off the bandwagon. Although I think the cutting back and distance, they may just say this is a 1-turn horse and bet him again. If he fails in here, I think maybe they'll start getting off. But I don't know. I just thought the price didn't look very tempting in there. But all the things you say about him make sense. I actually, the other horse I like in here is the 3rd Baffert horse, Manny Wah. If much better doesn't, I think he is going to be manic. I think that's the whole game plan here, is just let him roll. I think that's where he runs his best. And I think he could be tough to overhaul. But if he does get too manic and gets tired late, I think number three, Manny Wah, just joined the Baffert barn. To me, he has this is a horse who's better sprinting. They kind of got Derby fever with him and tried to rout him. But his last three sprint races have been really good. And I think he's sitting on a really big race here, third off of layoffs, shipping out, going 7 furlongs. You know, this horse is the one that could get ignored completely. For the race, for coming off the pace, you know, I really like him. To me, he's, you know, as fast as Roadster, also looks to be sitting on a big race and should be a much bigger price. So between those two, I kind of would lean towards Manny Wah over Roadster. But, you know, I like much better as the engine and Manny Wah as the caboose, as sort of long shot bookends to the race in here.
All right. Well, should be a great race, especially considering that we've picked just about every horse except Omaha Peach. The next race is the 10th race.
And complexity. I mean, the two favorites. So.
Yeah. And one other thing to note is that Omaha Beach does give 4 pounds to Complexity. He only gives 2 pounds to Roadster, but he gives 4 pounds to Complexity. So if it was between Omaha Beach and Complexity, I would probably roll with Complexity. But I think Roadster, I do think he could be higher than that 3-1. When are people going to give up on Roadster? I think they're going to give up on Roadster when he's facing horses of this with this kind of steam. We'll go to our last race. It's the 10th race at Santa Anita. It's the Mathis Brothers Mile, a mile on the turf for 200,000, 3-year-olds only. I guess I'll start this one. The horse that I like is a price horse. It's Originaire. He ran fast enough to win this race 3 races ago. That was at a mile. Since then, he's run 2 9-furlong races. He didn't do that well in those races, but he's getting back to his best distance where he ran a figure that could win this race. He's 15-1. He gets 4 pounds from the two fastest horses, Neptune Storm and Mo Forza. To me, he's a real interesting play, and because I have so many interesting plays in these last races, I am likely to bet the pick 5, and Originaire will be prominent on that pick 5.
I'm in agreement with you here. I think actually those last few races, he had some excuses. I mean, he's been catching some slow paces. This is a horse that likes to come from out of it. I think there's a lot of early speed in here. You know, Bob and Jackie on the outside, Mo Forza forwardly placed, Neptune Storm tends to be forwardly placed, Kingly always goes to the lead. This Loafer's Boy is a dirt sprinter stretching out. A lot of speed in here. I don't see how it can't be a quick pace. And to me, Originaire, is that how you pronounce it? Originaire?
He is
to me the classic kind of turf miler. This horse has a real, it likes to settle, but has a really big move. If you time it too early, or it's going longer distances like 1 1/8 miles, it tends to flatten out a little bit. But I think 1 mile, this horse can really finish. And his last few races, like I said, didn't get the best of rides, I didn't think. And they go to a new rider who most people probably haven't heard of. I know I hadn't. I had to look him up. His name's Rispoli. Not sure what his first name is.
Umberto Rispoli.
Umberto. I know he's from Italy. He's not Frankie Dettori, but he's won group races in Italy. I love the European riders because they like to save ground. Typically, they like to cover their horses up. and they like to make a one run. And I think that's exactly the way you want to ride this horse. And I think the rider won't get bet. The connections won't get bet. This horse should be a really big price. And I think, as you do, that it's really good value in here. You know, there's a lot of horses in here that have a chance. The other horse I kind of like sort of as the clunk up closer that could be a big price is the 8-horse Proud Pedro, who I think is another horse that will could benefit from a fast pace, has not gotten much of a pace to run into in its last few races. And so with a pace in here, I think the horse could certainly hit the board at a price. But between the two, I definitely like Originaire as the really good value play in here at 15-1 in the morning line.
Fantastic. Well, this is a nice race to end the sequence. The two favorites are carrying more weight than just about every other horse, so there's a great chance for a price. We don't want to dwell on this because we have to wrap this up pretty quickly, but do you have any further thoughts on the card at Santa Anita?
We pretty much covered the entire card. So I really don't. There are some other good races at other tracks, but Gulfstream Park and the fairgrounds, but the weather's a little bit iffy. You know, last week we spent a lot of time talking about turf races that ended up getting taken off the turf. So I don't want to spend much time on those because they may get taken off. But there were some pretty good turf racing if they stay on the turf at some of the other tracks. But, you know, it'll be a good card at Santa Anita. I just want to say, you know, Santa Anita takes a lot of grief right now from everybody, especially on social media. But it's a great track. This is a great card. You know, I hope the bettors will support it. You know, I don't know what the entire meet will bring, but this is, you know, this is one of the show places of racing. And I just hope that things go well. They have a good day and things can work out on the meet because, you know, these horses and riders and trainers and, you know, the staff at Santa Anita, they're all doing the best they can. It's just too bad things have kind of worked out the way they have. But, you know, hopefully people can set that aside and enjoy the racing at Santa Anita because it really is a good card and it really is a great place for racing. So, you know, that the Christmas present this weekend will be, you know, back at Santa Anita for a good day of racing. Let's hope we have more of those in the future.
I agree, and I can't wait to get back to Santa Anita. My son is graduating from college in L.A., so I know I'm making at least one trip to Southern California in the spring, and I will absolutely get one day at the track at Santa Anita, minimum, and hopefully more. So that will conclude show number 45 of the PH Pod. Happy holidays to all our listeners, and here are some soul drums from the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.